clock hours of Wilde and Tausch. Which, by the way, I am extremely appreciative that TJ is joining us. But I think it conveys how much we appreciate it and how good we know he is that a show that sucks at managing the clock to get to people on time has gotten to him largely on time. It's a statement on what we think of him.
Great job, Jason.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're in control, you're baby. Welcome. That's really well done.
You're not the easiest guy to control, as TJ well knows. Joining us now, he is a former Packer. He is a former Lion. Awkward. He is a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network broadcasts. And he is, well, he's Tausch's friend. Maybe he's my friend. I don't know. I don't want to make any assumptions. It is TJ Lang on Wilde and Tausch. I'm sorry? Uh-oh.
Hey, am I back?
Yeah, hey, there you hi.
Go. Sorry. I had a bad network connection. I had to switch over real quick.
That's a nice chandelier you got
love
there.
TJ, I love that ceiling with the chandelier. What is that considered? Like, is that crown marbling? What is that?
I don't know. I think it's just regular plywood. Oh, that part. Yeah,
looks great.
I think it's just wood.
Looks absolutely great.
I didn't build the house. I don't know what it consists of.
Welcome to HGTV with TJ Lang. I think it's plywood.
That's not even the nicest chandelier in the house, Big T. I should take you to the living room.
Oh, that's. Can we get a digi only? Since I ask you to do everything and you're so accommodating, we'll do a digi only where TJ gives us like a look at his whole house. This is just one of your like three houses, so that would be even better.
That's false. This is the only one I own currently.
TJ, I try to pride myself in not putting you guys in awkward spots with my questions on live radio, or in this instance, radio and YouTube and video. But I am curious.
You're about the election, are you?
No, trust me, I'm not doing that. Especially not with you. But
what are you doing?
I am curious, what is it like when the Packers play the Lions? Because obviously you won a Super Bowl with the Packers. We think of you, at least on our show, as a Packer, but you were a Pro Bowler with the Lions. You're a Michigan guy. Like, what is it like for you when these two teams play each other?
I can honestly say I don't really root for one over the other, you know, and like you said, I mean, most of my career, 8 years was out of my 10 years was in Green Bay. I mean, I consider myself a Green Bay Packer. You know, I never did the official, you know, retirement. Hey, I'm going to retire with this team. If I had to, I think everybody would obviously know it would be the Packers. I mean, that was where the majority of my success was, and that's where I consider myself. Playing with this Lions team for a couple years and then working with them for the past 4 years, like, yeah, I do consider myself now to be a small part of, you know, that organization. And certainly I'm enjoying what they've been doing and the success that they've had. But I think when I first got out of the NFL, I was rooting for the Lions because that was my most recent team. Mm-hmm. But now over the past couple years, you know, that I've been retired, it's this is just a tough matchup. I mean, I probably – whoever wins, I mean, I think these are probably the two best teams in the NFC, and I really honestly don't find myself finding, you know, we want the Lions to win, or I want the Packers to win. It's just I honestly want to see a good game, and I think we're going to get a hell of a game Sunday afternoon up in Lambeau.
Welcome to my world. You just want a good game with good storylines, entertaining. This is awesome. TJ and I are like
out of the year.
So, TJ, what I had the question.
The Packers had a lot of success for a long time, you know, and part of me was, hey, I want the Lions to know what that feels like, you know. Mm-hmm. And the first couple of years, Dan Campbell were a little rough, but now that they're getting to taste that success, it's I can't help but to be happy for them just to see how they've turned it around. I mean, we did that, you know, my entire career in Green Bay. We had a chance every year. We felt like to win the Super Bowl, and you want other teams to just feel what that feels like and the emotion and the ride that takes you on. And I think that, you know, the Lions over the past year and a half now are starting to finally get a taste of what we had for so long in Green Bay.
So, TJ, that's interesting, the Dan Campbell part of this, because it was a struggle. And even in year two, I think, was it 1-6 or 1-7 that they start on that finished strong? What is it about him? Because now the machine is rolling, and it just shows that patience played out. What is it about Dan Campbell that has made him so successful in rebuilding and getting this program moving in the right direction?
Well, first of all, they brought in the right type of people. You know, I think that in today's NFL, and it's easy to, you know, take a swing at the lowest hanging fruit. Hey, let's just go spend on a bunch of free agents. Hey, let's just go bring in some patch pieces that can get us through a year. You know, we're not really building a team, but maybe we can be competitive one of these years. They did it the right way. They knew they were going to take their lumps early on. And, you know, going back to the Penei Sewell pick, you know, I think a lot of people in Detroit, you know, they love our offensive lineman, don't get me wrong, but that's not really a needle mover. You want to, you know, especially when all these receivers are coming off the board, and, man, you know, we can get a star player, right, guys that are going to score touchdowns and have all these big stats. They chose to build it a different route with, you know, some guys that are going to come in and really be difference makers when it comes to just the characteristics that they have, the leadership styles, Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, and bringing in Jared Goff, who I think has been kind of one of the, in my opinion, one of the most admirable turnarounds from a player. I mean, you go from a guy that wasn't wanted by anybody, got seemingly kicked out of a team that he did a lot for out in the Rams, took him to a Super Bowl, won a lot of games, and, you know, watch him turn his career around. But I think that the common theme with a lot of these guys are, like, they genuinely feel like they all have an underdog type of story, you know? And I think that they've brought in enough pieces with that same mindset, with the same mindset of there's no divas on this team. There's nobody holding out for a new contract. There's nobody requesting a trade. You know what I mean? You just did it the right way, and you took your lumps, but you're starting to see now, probably even fast-forwarded than maybe even they would have thought when they first took this thing over. You're really starting to see all that pay off. And now you're in a position where maybe you can start to make some of those moves. I know the trade deadline's coming up next week, but, okay, we've got the foundation built. We've got, you know, we know who our top 10, you know, dozen, 15 guys are that are going to be here for the long haul. Can we go out and take a chance at bringing somebody else in, you know, that maybe can get us over that hump or close the gap a little bit, what you see with the rest of the NFL. And obviously, like you mentioned, Dan Campbell, I think, he's a guy, Tausch, that you and I, just being old school guys, would have loved to play for him. He does remind me of Mike McCarthy in a way that it's like, hey, just take care of your business. I'm not going to micromanage you. You know, no BS. Let's keep it all about football. I'm going to trust you guys, but don't make me look like an ass. You know what I mean? And, and his guys respect that, and his guys like that. And I can tell you what you guys see probably on highlights of him, you know, when it comes out nationally, that's who he is every day. I mean, he's open. He's honest. He's he doesn't really have a poker face. Like, he's just going to tell you how it is. And I think as players, Tausch, and you can speak to this, I think the one thing you always want the most maybe from your head coach is just consistency. Be the same guy day in, day out. Don't come in one day and, oh, man, what kind of mood's he going to be in today? How is this day going to – you know what I mean? Players don't want that. They don't respect that. And I think Dan Campbell has that. And I think that's a big part of why he's able to, you know, keep this team on page seemingly day to day and really week to week.
Now, and one of the things that Mike used to always tell us is how you handle success, and that was going to be the biggest challenge. And now Detroit, obviously, ton of success last year, right at the doorstep of going to a Super Bowl. How has this team went from being the kind of, oh, that's the same old Lions, to now being, by most people, viewed as the best team outside of Kansas City in the whole NFL? How have they handled all that success?
It's funny, because going back last year to the NFC Championship game, like, part of you feels like they skipped the line a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, there's supposed to be this progression where, hey, we, you know, the year before, right, they were 9-8, right? Okay, the next year, the goal is just to get to the playoffs, right? And then maybe the next year, hey, now we got to start winning the division. Then maybe, you know what I mean? It seems like there's kind of a process you have to take to getting to the successful point. And last year, you know, boom, they win 12 games. They win the division. They win two playoff games. They're in an NFC Championship game, and you're sitting there saying, like, man, they kind of skipped the line a little bit. Like, they didn't They've never gone through a run like this. They don't know what the pain is of losing in an NFC championship, or at this point, right? The pain of losing a playoff game or being in a situation like that. I think it kind of helped them last year because they didn't really know any better. And that was a question coming into this year. Is this going to be a letdown year? Are there guys, guys are getting paid now. I mean, Amon-Ra, Jared Goff, Penei Sewell, Aleem McNeil a couple weeks ago, these guys signing massive deals. You know, how are they going to respond to that? How are they going to keep it together? How are they going to respond to the fact that, man, we're having a lot of success and this thing is completely 180'd on us from where we were a couple years ago? But I think, I mean, honestly, it's a testament to Dan Campbell. Like, he does such an incredible job of, I mean, one of the craziest stats, like, I think in the last, 25, maybe 30 games, like, they haven't lost back-to-back in, like, 2 years. He gets his team ready. Even last week, you're looking at, okay, man, you're 11-point favorites over not a very good Titans team, but that could kind of fall into that trap game category, and they go out and just blow that team. I think it's a testament to Dan Campbell just keeping his guys so laser-focused on what we need to do today. You know what I mean? Like, these guys don't even really talk about the playoffs. Like, they talk about, dude, we got a division game, man. We're not worried about that. Like, this season's so far ahead of us. And Dan Campbell, when you really listen to him, he doesn't even really make it a focal point to tell his team, we got to go win. We got to go win. We got to do whatever it takes to win. Focal point of, we got to find a way to improve. You know what I mean? We got to find a way to do what we're supposed to do. Go out there, and as long as we get better, we got a chance to beat anybody. You know what I mean? And I think that takes a little bit of pressure off the players when it comes to, we just got to go win. We got to win. It's just, hey, let's keep it focused. Let's go out there, find a way to get better each week. And the guys, I mean, they do a hell of a job doing that.
Well, and also the fun. It just looks like that Cowboys game, from an old lineman standpoint, I got Sewell going out there on like a hook and ladder, and they got the skipper reporting on the first play. That's the stuff that you know your team is tight when you're doing that, and what Ben Johnson has been able to do to bring all of that fun and him coming back and passing on some of those head coaching opportunities, that's where this offense is really rolling. And I think a lot of that has to do with obviously the guys up front, but they're also incorporating and putting roles and just having a ton of fun. At least that's what it looks like from the outside. Hey, look at that little whippersnapper back there.
Oh, there's Parker. They just
hey, young fella.
I think, the plays, the fun plays like that, you wait every game just to see something like what Ben Johnson's going to draw up. But you're right, Tausch. I think that's the coach's way of rewarding his guys' play. You know what I mean? Yep. Hey, guys, go take care of what you're supposed to do. And then, boom, we hit the third quarter. We're going to send in that formation. We're going to hope we get that call, and we're going to run it. Because those plays, man, as soon as you hear the formation or the bell, right away you just can't help but to smile because you know what's coming. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And you know it's going to be a fun mm-hmm. play. So I think that's their way of really kind of rewarding those guys. But also a way of Ben Johnson to continue to find ways to be creative. You know what I mean? That, like, especially down the red, they've had – four out of the past 5 weeks, something. Last week was a halfback pass. The week before, Seattle game, they're throwing, reverse pass or golf. That's just a way to be creative, but also reward your guys. And I think that you're right, man. Ben John is maybe, I don't even know if he's underrated at this point, but what he does for that team is incredible. And I think that the biggest, the most important relationship in any football team is your quarterback and your play caller. And Ben Johnson and Jared Goff have been together for a couple years now, and it's almost like they just look at each other, from 50 yards away, and it's like, okay, is this the time? Yeah, okay, he knows what I'm thinking, right? This is the time to call this play. And the relationship that they have, just being on the same page, is massive, man. I mean, we've all seen it maybe the other way, where a quarterback gets a little ticked off at some play calls, right?
When does that happen? I've never seen that. Did that ever happen?
Gosh, you played long enough. I played 10 years. I played with, maybe 8 different quarterbacks. I'm not throwing anybody in the bus, but you know how it can go down that road.
Yes, indeed.
It seems like Jared and Ben just get along. They hold each other accountable, and that's been a huge part of why this offense has, just been so explosive this year so far.
Mm-hmm. Talking with TJ Lang, ex-Packers and ex-Lions offensive lineman, and part of the Detroit Lions radio network. Tausch, you're not a believer in Jared Goff, right? I don't want to misquote
you
here.
I am a believer if you keep him clean and he's in the pocket, and with what Detroit's done offensive line-wise, you need to get him off his spot. And I don't know if TJ would agree. Goff is really good when things are right there. It's the ad-libbing. If I'm Green Bay's defensive coordinator, I'm Jeff Hafley, I'm saying we can't let him get comfortable, because I do think he'll turn it over. I think that's the key to this game this weekend. And if you can get Detroit to sit in third and six plus, I like Green Bay's defense against Goff.
Tej, do you think Tausch is right about that?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that, honestly, you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks. If you have to, you know, get them off their spot, they're not great. Jared Goff, no doubt, man. Like, he's kind of shown over time, like, yeah, you put some pressure on him. And now he's done a better job this year of, like, just some subtle move pocket and helping his guys out and stepping up at the right times. But that's kind of the last couple years, I think the majority of his career, he was not very good against the blitz. And I don't really know what has changed this year, is if it's just, you know, having Amon-Ra or having a guy like Jameson Williams that we're not going to see this week, obviously, he's suspended. But having him has, I think, forced a lot of teams out of pressure in Jared Goff, because, you know, if it does get picked up, you got a guy that's running the 4-2 down the sideline, and that ain't fun for anybody. But I'm with you. I think that's an important matchup this week. One thing that I'm impressed with Jeff Hafley, I mean, every week you turn on the film and there's, like, new pressures and there's new fronts and there's new twists and there's new wrinkles every single week depending on who they're playing. And I think that's important, man. I think that's something that Aaron Glenn is going to have to do, quite honestly, now that they don't have Aiden Hutchinson, and that he's shown he can do a little bit the last couple weeks. But, yeah, I think that there's – and being on the road, you're playing a team like that where you don't know who's rushing, you don't know who's dropping, communication can easily break down, and you can get some free hits on the quarterback. Now, Detroit's done a good job at that this year, but the times they didn't, even last week, be honest with you, I mean, Jared Goff gets sacked on the first play of the game. He fumbled that ball, you know what I mean? And he's able to get back on it. But that game could look different if you go out there in the first play and get a sack, fumble, going the other way. And even later in the game, he took another shot, fumbled the ball, got back on it. But he's doing a nice job this year, I think, of taking better care of the football. But you're right, T. I mean, I think that's fair to say that if you get pressure on him, that there could potentially be mistakes. We just haven't really seen it yet this year, because I think that the communication and the plan that Ben Johnson has for the pressure – has really worked. It'll be interesting to see if offensive line holds up just against a four-man rush. You know what I mean? Taylor Decker's not coming off his best game last week. He got beat a couple times, pretty clean around the edge. Guys on the interior, a little bit slippy at times. So if Green Bay can get home with just rushing four, I think that'll be a recipe for their defense to have success against Jared Goff and that offense.
And that's been the biggest question mark for this defense, that Rashawn Gary and Kenny and the guys have not consistently gotten home with four, and Hafley has adjusted and he's brought different guys, whether it's Keyshawn or they're bringing guys off the perimeter, Edgerrin Cooper. So that's going to be a fun matchup to watch as well. And I think last one for me, Hutchinson's injury was obviously, he's a stud and he's such a difference maker. Do you think Detroit has to go out and pick somebody up to kind of solidify that? Because defensively, I think if Jordan Love was healthy, I love this matchup. I think Green Bay is going to put some points up. We saw that last year. With no Hutchinson and not having that guy that can get there, you think Detroit needs to make a move?
Yes, 100%, absolutely. And I think this weekend is probably going to solidify that fact. Now, you're only going to have a couple days until the deadline after Sunday. But, yeah, and I don't think that they have to go – you know, spend a couple first-round picks and get some, you know, all-pro guy in here. But, yeah, last week, I mean, it's hard to find negatives when you win 52-14. But you look at that pass rush, and there are times where, you know, they're rushing four, and you're just like, man, nobody's even getting close to Mason Rudolph. You know what I mean? Like, this is a problem. This is not going to be sustainable. And I think where the Lions are at right now, look, I mentioned I think they're the best team in the NFC, and I think Green Bay is right behind. What I mean, I do think there is a little bit of a gap there, just as we sit here right now with the way that Detroit's offense is playing. But you know, next week that contending teams are going to make moves. I mean, San Francisco has shown every year that they're going to go make a move. I mean, Brian Gutekunst, like, he talks all the time that he's in every conversation, right? They probably feel where they're at right now, they've got a chance. So if you stand pat, you're going to let everybody else close the gap on you. You know what I mean? Other teams are going to find a way to improve over the next couple days. And if you're the Lions, it hasn't been their MO to go get anybody, but they've never been in this position before where they've said realistically, like, we might have a shot at the whole thing this year. Now, I don't think you have to sell the farm or trade off a bunch of future pieces to do that, but Taos, they absolutely need to go get somebody, because there's just, without Aaron Glenn coming up with exotic looks, you know, to bring 6-7 guys, safeties, nickels, they weren't even getting close last week to putting any sort of pressure on that Titans passing attack. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but yeah, they definitely need some help.
Sounds like a four-man rush that I've been familiar with watching with the Packers as well. That's why the Packers need to go get Trey Hendrickson before the Lions get him. All right, TJ, I know that Taush was very needy by asking you to be on the show, so I don't want to keep you any longer. I only have one really pertinent question, and that is this. I'm looking at pictures of you.
Full-size candy bars. Come one way in this.
Full-size candy bars.
All.
Dude, if you ever asked me for anything, you know that I and Taush would do whatever you needed. So,
I'm not needy.
You're not. Exactly. I was just about to say that. Here's my question. I'm looking at pictures of you in your Lions uniform, and I'm looking at pictures of Aiden Hutchinson in his Lions uniform. Do you ever get mistaken for Aiden Hutchinson around the greater Detroit area?
No. People have told me there's similarities, but yeah, I don't think there's any mistake in a 6'7", you know, bodybuilder, 268 Hutchinson. He does have a massive head, though, and I will say I'm in the massive head club as well. Big T, he's the founding member. But yes, I have been complimented before that there are some familiarities and similarities there.
Okay, I was just curious, but I know it at your peak of your athletic powers, I'm sure those comparisons could have been made more effectively. All right, we look forward to seeing you. You'll be here, right? You'll be on the radio broadcast. You'll be in town.
Yes, sir. Can't wait, man. You guys know I love coming back to Lambeau Field. That's a special place for me.
But more importantly, in my house, are Laura and the kids coming, or are they staying home? Because my family doesn't really care if you're here. But if JJ was here, I know Sydney would be excited.
No, the boys' hockey schedule—it's pretty packed this weekend, so they're going to be hanging back, holding down the fort here in Detroit, skating, hopefully scoring some goals. It's been a while.
Well, we look forward to you being here. I hope I get to see you on game day. Give Laura and the kiddos our best. And hey, thanks for always being there when we're needy. I'm sure there'll be another time, probably a week after Thanksgiving, that we're calling again.
Yeah, it's a good. Yeah, let me put that. I'll put that down on the schedule. How about the Tuesday before the third, before that game?
Perfect.
I'll write it down.
Book it.
Perfect.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, that is TJ Lang. He's Taush. You're right. Like, the drawback for TJ is that he's as good as he is, because that makes us want to have him on more and more. And if he sucked, we wouldn't bother to call him. But he's fantastic, and we're happy for him. He's found a role with the Lions. But
no shock. It's not a shock to me or to anybody else that this game, it's going to be, and I know we have our game day preview and everything else, it's going to be a line of scrimmage game. That's what Detroit is. That's mm-hmm. what Green Bay needs to be. If they're going to win, they have to be able to. I with no Hutchinson, I like the matchup a lot for Green Bay. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it better with Jordan Love at quarterback, though, than I do with Malik Willis. And I am, again, I'm a Malik Willis athletic supporter, but I don't know how long the magic keeps going. And this feels like a game where if he plays, there could be some moments where Aaron Glenn has some things dialed up for him that make things difficult. We will see if he plays how that goes. All right. We'll talk more about Packers-Lions coming up. Want to remind you, as I tell you all the time, I hope you never have to make the call, because that means you have not, or someone you love has not, been seriously injured in an accident. But if that does happen, you want to have the best in the business on your side, and that is Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, find out everything you need to know about the firm, about David and his history in our communities, and about all the great lawyers they have on their team, because they will win for you. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. The planet subsides. The
minute I go, I feel like... Thanks, as always, to C.J. Lang, our favorite former Packer and Lion. I don't know if there's been a lot of Packers-Lions crossover.
A lot of Vikings-Packers.
Like
not
there
as
is
many,
with the Vikings.
Detroit. Stokey. Barry Stokes would be one.
Indeed.
So this is what that another game is Easter that Tausch likes, Jason. The Dynasty. He calls it Dynasty Daddy. Most call it the Immaculate Grid. They come up with players
no,
in
it's
the...
Called it's literally Dynasty Daddy.
Literally.
But you... And I believe we were going to do that on the show the last couple of weeks, and I don't think that's we haven't been able to figure that piece out yet, which is okay.
It doesn't sound like it's okay. Yeah. TJ
no,
Lang
fine.
Scheduled to appear on Tuesday, December 3rd, heading into that Thursday, December 5th matchup with the Lions, so mark your calendars for his return. Having him on and knowing he does the Lions radio network and you doing the Badgers Radio Network got me thinking about the fact, and we'll get back to previewing Packers-Lions momentarily. This is the first game that Tom Brady will have done involving the Packers.
Okay.
Do you care? Does it matter to you?
No.
Are you it? Well, not.
No,
well, I'm not just asking you per se. I'm asking the general you, everybody. Like, is this like I've been watching the World Series, which the Dodgers won last night as they won Game 5, coming back from a 5-0 deficit to win 7-6.
Ohtani.
Sorry, Rich Bisaccia.
Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Told you.
Who went 2-for-19 in the World Series.
Total gag there for the Yanks.
But they keep showing this commercial of Tom Brady walking into a stadium, and then the other Tom Brady's are, you know, giving him a pep talk because, you know, people didn't believe in him when he was at Michigan and when he was starting out with the Patriots, then when he went to Tampa Bay, and now people aren't believing in him now. Come on, man. Like, it's great. He's Tom Brady. You paid him $300-some million for the next 10 years to do games and not be able to go into production meetings because now he's a part owner of the Raiders. But I'm curious if fans care that he's calling the game. Like, I don't consume the game the same way, but, like, the way they were promoting it, they do this commercial. I saw it during the earlier rounds on Fox 2, where and then they put which game it is. Like, they don't show anything about the actual game. It's, here's Tom Brady and all these other versions of Tom Brady walking in a stadium, coming up to Burkhart, big game Burkhart.
Sure.
Jesse, do you care?
At the start of the season, I cared. I don't really like what it's become, where Brady calling the game is like the spectacle that they're trying to... And they've done more than just the promos of it, too. Like, on their pregame show, did you see this thing like 2 weeks ago? They had him join as like a hologram for the pregame show. They like superimposed Brady was at the stadium. I think they were in San Francisco. They like superimposed him like he was in
like
the studio
Tupac
next to Terry Bradshaw. But he was like it looked like it was very weird because he was disproportionately sized compared to like Howie Long.
Was
and
he
Terry
too
Brad.
Big or too tiny?
He was too large. Yeah. So okay. it looked weird. It got a weird reaction on social media. Like, it just
don't you think the right
too
move
much.
If you're Fox? Get rid of Bradshaw, put Brady in there with Gronk on their regular show, and put Olsen back with Burkhardt. This isn't a hard thing to do. You're going to pay him anyways. Move him along and let him analyze. He's going to be more loose and fun. He's got his boy Gronk there. Brady obviously has a wealth of knowledge that we want to hear
sure.
about.
No doubt.
And let him in a more controlled environment. I'm on board with that plan. I wouldn't and I bet that happens at some point.
I wouldn't mind if Howie retires, Terry retires, Strahan sticks with Good Morning America, and you just get Kurt Menefee with Gronk and Brady breaking down every game on a Sunday.
No, you need a little bit more. But, yeah, it's. I just think at some point, I mean, players have to retire. It's time for Terry. Deuces TB. Bring in the new TB.
Deuces TB. That's good. That was just good. Very clever. But if I want to know.
But no, Jason, nobody. Packer fans don't give two rips. Like, they're going to complain about the announcer more likely than not, anyways. Everybody hated whoever did the game. I can't remember who did the game last week. They didn't think they knew anything. It was.
Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma. That crew stinks.
Twitter did not like that at all.
That crew stinks. Quote.
Put me and Semrau or me and Padole in there. We're good.
I want Schlereth. Yeah. I'm a big Mark Schlereth fan. I think Mark Schlereth looks at the game the right way. I'm always on board with Schlereth doing a game.
All right, so if I poll this, do you care that Tom Brady is calling the Packers
It's going to be
Lions
a big
game?
Fat no. And people say, I don't think he's very good. That's what's going to happen.
I think some people will lie. I think some people will vote no when they actually do care. But they're gonna play tough guy.
Why on earth would you lie about that?
It's Halloween. They're gonna dress up as tough guy and say, "I don't care who's called the game. I'm just watching the Packers." And people care.
Okay, I'm gonna poll it because especially when it's anonymous. No one knows how you voted.
It's a weird lie. Well, why on earth would you lie about that?
As opposed to the must lie situation we were discussing yesterday, that's a no need to lie situation.
But Greg Olsen, and I understand the whole deal. Greg Olson's a fantastic announcer.
He's
and
really
I love his
good.
Voice.
Yeah.
I think his voice is
well,
just
because you think he sounds like you.
It sounds just like me. Me and Greg.
Sure. Very similar. I will say this. I think offensive linemen and tight ends do a really good job. I understand quarterbacks are always the guys, right? Brady, Romo, Aikman, etc. But I think offensive linemen, if you listen, they know the game. And I think that they are insightful and they're a little more relatable as well.
Couldn't agree more.
I am going to post this poll. Do you believe it'll be a canyon?
Okay.
98%.
No, won't be canyon. 90?
90-10?
No, I think 85. 85.
Does it make a difference to you that Tom Brady's calling the game? Yes or no?
I would have not even known that he's calling the game. So that tells you where I'm at.
Well, then clearly you should check out the ESPN app that says where to watch things. I don't know if it tells
ditch
you the
that.
Announcing team, but you should get it.
Yeah, you ditch the random channel surfing with your remote. Grab your phone. Open the ESPN app. Their new Where to Watch feature. It's a game changer. So many games going on, and the ESPN app is your answer for, what channel is that? What app is that? What do you stream? Huh? You want to know where the Bucks are tipping off? What? Well, boom. ESPN app gives you that answer for everything that you're looking for. You already have it. It's the ESPN app's Where to Watch tab. Say goodbye to that frustration. And hello to watching sports. Download the ESPN app from your app store and find the Where to Watch app on your TV icon.
I made things a little uncomfortable for Matt LaFleur yesterday.
That's fun.
And I didn't like it because I didn't ask the question to get a good answer. And as I tell you all the time, it's about getting the answers. It's not about the questions. And I botched the question. Because I put him in a position where he basically had to lie or at least deceive a little bit. I will explain, and you will hear that exchange when it comes to the Packers secondary. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. But I won't cry for yesterday.
So, Tausch, I mean it when I say it. Like, I don't I don't want to. I want to get answers, and I screwed this up. Listen to the question and the bleh answer that I get because I screwed up the question about the Packers' secondary and the situation that they find themselves in if they don't have Evan Williams and possibly don't have Jaire Alexander either.
Matt, where do you think you are in your secondary if you're missing a couple of those pieces? And I was curious, was that a change at the end with Eric Stokes, or was that performance-based, or did he get hurt at the end of the game?
Well, I think we want to rotate all those guys, and I do think that is a position, the corner and the safety position, where we have a decent amount of depth. What transpired in that game, I mean, Evan kind of felt something pregame. He tried to go out and play, and it set off a chain reaction in terms of how do you go about putting who you feel like is going to give you the best chance to win. Bold didn't practice any at safety all week. Then he's got to go play safety, and I think that's tough on a young player. You know, you kick Keyshawn inside. Obviously, I think our corner depth's pretty good. So that led to CB and Stokes getting more opportunities. But as far as the rotation goes amongst those guys, we're going to rotate all those guys because we have confidence in them.
Yeah, I, as soon as I said performance-based, I knew I'd screwed it up, right? Because he's not going to say, yeah, we benched him in the middle of a series.
Not going to sell his guys out.
Right, stupid. Totally bad.
Bad question. Bad answer, bad question.
Yeah, and then he started doing material, doing the whole thing about the chain reaction again, which he'd said on Monday. I think he really liked the phrase chain reaction.
Yeah, you let him get into talking points, Matt, and that's not where you want to be.
So
what they want TPM.
So once Evan Williams left the game, they rotated Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes at the outside corner, and they moved, as he mentioned, Keyshawn Nixon inside, and they moved Javon Bullard, or Bull, as they call him, back to safety to replace Evan Williams. Well, so Eric Stokes played 21 snaps. Carrington Valentine played 12. But as we've discussed, usually at that position, you don't replace a guy in the middle of a drive. But Eric Stokes gave up two big completions during that drive, and they pulled him out. It clearly wasn't injury-based. He's not on the injury report. So I completely flubbed that. My question for you is, if they don't have Evan Williams, and maybe they do, maybe they don't have Jaire Alexander, against a team that has scored 172 points in the last four games, how up you know what crick without a paddle are they in the secondary suddenly?
Well, it's going to be a tough spot, but this game is going to come down to, can they get Jared Goff off his spot and pressure him? And if that needs to be through simulated pressure, if that needs to be through blitzing four or five different guys and moving them around and having a five-man rush, a six-man rush, that's going to be the key to this game. I think Jeff Hafley is going to heat him up. And that puts a lot of pressure on your secondary. Mm-hmm. And maybe that also says, well, I can't do everything I want because I don't have Jaire and I don't have Evan Williams. And both guys, I think they obviously think very highly of. So to answer your question, because it was a good question, it's a big deal. Because this offense is humming. And when you let them get in rhythm, nobody has slowed them down. It's getting him out of rhythm. He's thrown picks. We've seen him do this before. You rattle his cage a little bit. And TJ said this too, every quarterback. Hey, no blank blank, but especially for him because he's not interested in those extending plays. Like, that's not where he lives. It makes him uncomfortable. That's why the Rams moved on from him. Now, if it was just sit back in the pocket, zone, run the fake stretch plays and the play actions and the boots, he's good. Get him off target. And I think, by the way, it's one of the rare win-win trades because Stafford was able to do that. They got their championship. They got a first round. They ended up giving up a pick. And the Detroit Lions have completely reinvented themselves and found a way with Ben Johnson to have Jared Goff be a really good player. Is he one of the top guys? No, he's not. Is he really good and consistent? And is he really good when he is protected and is not put in a ton of gotta-have-it plays? Absolutely. That's what this game's going to come down to, in my opinion.
We will see if that is the case. All right, we want to get to a conversation about tickets to
Packers. Is Evan Williams going to play or not? What's your gut tell you on that one?
No.
I would say I would agree. Hammies. Hammies are hammies now. And especially
when Matt LaFleur, that was the one good thing that came out of my crappy question. That it happened pregame and he played anyway. Mm-hmm. That would be an indicator to me that the last thing you want him to do is to try to do that again, and then you're doing another chain reaction without him when he can't finish the game.
Yep.
So at least that came out of it. All right, we need to play trivia. Jesse, what do you got for a category? Who did the work for you, and what caller would you like?
I put in the work today, Jason. Happy Halloween is today's trivia category. Kind of expected, probably.
Very creative.
Questions about the holiday.
By the way, why has there not been Halloween music throughout the show?
What's Halloween music?
Spooky, ooh, scary skeletons.
We have
Ghostbusters.
Oh. Okay, that's two.
Well, that's just off the top of my head. I bet I could put together a playlist.
Well,
for
if
you.
I said, "What name some holiday songs for the holiday season in December?"
Well, yes, I would agree that it's tougher for Halloween than it is for Christmas.
Valentine's Day, bang!
Not a lot
you got
of
20
people,
of them.
Yeah, not a lot of people put out Halloween albums.
Mother's Day, you could even probably get me five or six right away. Halloween songs. What do
don't
we got?
Make ex- two? You're
so just wait a second. You're blaming the music industry for not giving you enough options.
Yeah, we need more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesse, accountability. That's good stuff.
Not a lot of Halloween songs.
Ja.
With some thought, maybe four.
If only you had like a website where you could type in Halloween songs and it would respond with a list of Halloween songs that you could then search out.
No need. There's only four of them. No need for that website.
Category is Happy Halloween. Jesse says there are four Halloween songs in existence, so we will take caller four. 8-4. We've already got Aaron Nagler sending us other songs. So let's be honest here. This may have been a miss by you. Just
okay,
to be fair.
So we got Spooky Scary Skeletons, which is the bed we use for Spooky or Fluky when we play coming up. So I'm not even going to count that one. We got Ghostbusters. What's the Monster Mash? I'll give you Monster Mash. So
somebody's watching me. Yeah. And I got no privacy. How about Thriller?
I thought Michael Jackson was banned from this show, so that one's
Michael
out.
Jackson's banned from.
There we
my
go.
End,
see,
yeah.
So there
you guys,
we go.
When I'm out, you guys want to play it? Great, go ahead. But no,
we'll play him as the entry music for Dan Orlovsky. All right, we need to play trivia.
By the way, check out Dan Orlovsky's breakdown on Matt LaFleur on Twitter. It's fantastic.
No,
it's good.
Sure.
What are you mad about?
Because I did the same breakdown of my game story after the game. Same
about
thing.
Matt LaFleur on video? Oh,
not on video. No, it wasn't video. No. Of course not, because it's a
hey,
print
bro,
medium.
Get with the program. We're living in a video world. You know
caller
that.
Caller 4
on.
For trivia, 844-770-3776. We will play without any Halloween
you
music.
You know what I'd love to see? You dressed up as Lombardi on a whiteboard. And just go through that same sequence. Let's do a digi only where you're as Lombardi and you're drawing it up and you're saying, up and in, and here's LaFleur, and he's moving Jaden Reed and he's moving Watson and he's got this, a 2x2, and that's how you get him open. How fun would that be? I'd tune into that.
At 10:54, you want me to dress as Vince Lombardi so we can do a digi only.
Trust me, that's a little crooked on that bobblehead there.
Yeah, he's thinking.
In that little treasure chest that you call a basement, you don't think you got an old hat with an old raincoat that you couldn't put together? I think you do.
Caller 4 for trivia will play next. It's Wildea Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Love is kind of crazy with a spooky little girl like you.
Trivia. Boy, this sounds kind of like a song you'd play at Halloween.
Does it?
Spooky little girl like you. I mean, it wasn't on my list.
Mm-hmm, because the list isn't very long. Like,
does Thanksgiving have a lot of music associated with it? I know we don't have movies because Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the greatest Thanksgiving movie of all time. I don't even know if there is another one. Halloween has tons of movies, and you would think within that there's soundtracks, probably tons of music. But Thanksgiving, probably a lot tougher to find music for. So, Jesse, if you said, well, they don't have any Thanksgiving music, I'd be like, yeah, I get it. You're probably right.
The 50 best Halloween songs to add to your 2024 playlist.
Yeah, don't get me started on this. Josh DiMaggio sends, here's Billboard's top 25, top 40 Halloween songs of all time.
Why don't you want Josh to get started on
that? The Devil Went Down to Georgia is not a Halloween song just because devil is in the title of the song. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with Halloween.
But it could be. But it could be.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. It's got Halloween right there in the title. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Mike in Waukesha. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Well, Jesse's taking a lot of responsibility again. You know how that goes. All right. The category is Happy Halloween. We may or may not have more music. Before we get to you, some breaking news from the National Football League. Another award, a major award.
I was thinking trade.
I feel like I would have made a much bigger deal out of that than that. Xavier McKinney is your NFC Defensive Player of the Month for October.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Saw that one coming.
Long month. Really long
felt month. Long, yeah. Here's the bad news. And I'm not saying that we should be concerned about him going the route of this guy. The last Packers player to win Defensive Player of the Month, Devondre Campbell in 2021. So,
yeah,
I don't expect
By the way,
him.
Devondre Campbell was a really good pickup, again, by the Gutenator. Probably shouldn't have re-signed him.
But so he gets credit for
yourself,
picking him
59.
Up.
He did.
Take care of your mentals. Really good pickup, really bad re-signing. Fair?
I wouldn't say really bad. I mean, he still was a good player. It just wasn't. You think it's really bad?
I think it was pretty bad. Yeah, I do. All right, let's play trivia. Mike, here we go. Question number one, unless Tausch isn't asking any questions today.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Mike, which fictional character is the main antagonist featured throughout the 13 movies, 13 soundtracks in the Halloween horror franchise? Is it Michael Myers, John Kramer, Charlie Brown?
Michael Myers.
Yes, sir.
Who is John Kramer?
That's the Saw dude.
I assume that he was some sort of a scary movie character.
I thought, wasn't that the movie about the divorced couple?
Kramer versus Kramer?
Yeah.
Cosmo Kramer. All right, Mike, question two.
Jerry Kramer.
Oh, boy.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Kelsey Grammer.
What?
Okay. Kelsey Next. Ballerini.
Tausch loses.
Okay.
Question
11:03. I'm just trying to
Mike.
Trying to move along, Jesse. It's trying to help
you're
you.
You're trying to move along by losing the game on purpose? That's what, okay. You're,
well, no,
you're always
Grammer's
playing 4D. Chess, yeah. All right, Mike, question two. Sorry, this has been unfair to you, buddy. According to news website Axios, which candy was recognized as the most popular Halloween candy in 40 of the 50 U.S. states in 2023. I know it wasn't Almond Joy, because apparently nobody likes Almond Joy except me. Was it M&M's, Snickers, or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
I feel like it's going to be M&M's.
I would think so, too. But you're wrong.
Peanut butter cups are everywhere. Reese's runs the world when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Tausch is right.
And I don't even think their best one is that Take Five. It's loaded with everything. You get peanut butter cup. You got Reese's. You got the Reese's pieces.
This sounds oddly like free advertising to me.
With what? Well, Quick Trip sells all of it. All right, last one. Which of these comedic actors has not appeared in either the 03 original movie or the 2023 remake of Disney's The Haunted Mansion? Is it Eddie Murphy, Dan DeVito, Ben Stiller?
Ben Stiller.
Tosh's favorite actor. Big fan. Member of the fan
club.
What
do you think Ben Stiller would be doing if Jerry Stiller wasn't his dad? Like, legit.
I think he'd still be an actor. Here, but
no, he would not.
And you're hanging out with Noah Eagle again on Saturday night at the Iowa game.
Don't pee
right?
on the seat again. All right, that's it for trivia. Hey, Mike, you got 2 out of 3. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries into tomorrow's drawing. Sorry if we were a little bit distracted during your contestancy, but we appreciate your loyalty to the show, buddy. Thanks.
It's all good. Thank you.
All right, that is trivia. Tausch really wants to talk about tickets at Lambeau Field when the Detroit Lions come to town.
A lot of Honolulu Blue last time. A lot of Honolulu Blue.
Jesse really wants to play Spooky or Fluky and a myriad of Halloween songs to make up for lost time in today's show. One will get their way. We'll see who it is.
I have a guess.
Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.